The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to NFL Live on this Friday with Lewis Riddick and Rob Ninkovich. I am Dan Graziano. We're here to help kick off your holiday weekend with an hour of off-season NFL talk. And we begin in Washington, where it may be almost time that the team decides to change its name. On Thursday, FedEx, which has the naming rights to Washington Stadium under a $205 million deal that runs until 2025, requested that the team change its name. Team owner Dan Snyder has been under more pressure in recent weeks to change the name, given the social climate and the protests throughout the United States. On Thursday night, Nike appeared to remove all of Washington's gear from its online store. If you land on the NFL section of Nike's site, all other 31 teams and their gear are represented. Nike has not yet responded to requests for comment. Team owner Dan Snyder has been vocal about the name change issue in the past. In May of 2013, he said, quote, "We'll never change the name. It's that simple. Never. You can use caps." And as you see, we did. Just a few months later, he said, "We cannot ignore our 81-year history or the strong feelings of most of our fans as well as Native Americans throughout the country. After 81 years, the team name continues to hold the memories and meaning." And in 2014, he said the team's name, quote, "represents honor, represents respect, represents pride, and hopefully winning." Things move fast these days. A couple of hours ago, the team put out this statement. "In light of recent events around our country and feedback from our community, we are announcing the team will undergo a thorough review of the name. This review formalizes the initial discussions the team has been having with the league in recent weeks." Owner Dan Snyder stated, "This process allows the team to take into account not only the proud tradition and history of the franchise, but also input from our alumni, the organization, sponsors, the National Football League, and the local community it is proud to represent on and off the field." Head coach Ron Rivera, "This issue is of personal importance to me, and I look forward to working closely with Dan Snyder to make sure we continue the mission of honoring and supporting Native Americans and our military. We believe this review can and will be conducted with the best interest of all in mind." Here's our Adam Schefter with more.
When the Redskins make that announcement this morning, Matt, that say they're going to have a thorough review of their name, you don't make that announcement unless you intend to make a change. Change is coming to Washington. I do not expect that team to be called the Redskins this season. And now the only question that remains is, what will they change the name to? Because it won't be Washington Redskins in 2020.
Statement from NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell this afternoon said the league has had ongoing discussions with Snyder and is supportive of this important step. So as I said, things moving very quickly. And to help us break it all down, we welcome in Jason Reed, senior NFL writer for The Undefeated. Jason, lots of buildup last night. Obviously, a lot going on already today. So just cut to the chase here. How do you think this turns out?
Well, let me double down, Dan, on what Adam said. We're at a point where this decision has already been made. This decision to move forward and end this name was really part of a bigger overall thing that's happening in the league. I was texting with a league source just yesterday about the situation and some other things the league is trying to do for the upcoming season around this whole situation we have in the country, this reckoning on race that's occurring. And what my source told me was, hey, we want to be a leader in ending racism in this country. Now, let's put aside for a second whether you believe that, whether the NFL is just doing this because of the moment and because of what's occurring. The reality of it is that's the narrative that the NFL is putting out there. And this name undercuts that narrative. This name undercuts all the work that Commissioner Roger Goodell is telling his staff to do. It undercuts what the owners are telling Roger they need to do. And also remember this, Daniel Snyder has a fiduciary responsibility to his partners. That responsibility is to do everything in the best interest of the league to make money. continuing with this name is an existential threat to the NFL, not to the NFL's ability to make money at all, but to the NFL's ability to maximize its profits. This name is already gone. The only question is, what is the new name going to be?
So, Jason, just quickly following up, do you get the impression that Snyder has heard from, obviously we know he's heard from the commissioner's office, they say this, but in terms of fellow owners on this possibility, or at least that he might?
Let me tell you what my reporting tells me. That talking to people around the league, this has been building for over a month. When we saw what has happened with people taking to the streets, I was talking to a team executive from an NFC West team a few weeks ago, and what he told me was, look, I don't know for sure if this name is going to change, but the pressure is mounting. And I said to him, how much? He said, it's mounting to the point where Roger, with coming out and doing the things he's doing with that video, with affirming that Black Lives Matter, that the league has taken wrong steps in how it approached the protest, that something is going to have to change. It's building the critical mass. Again, Daniel Snyder has to make money for his owners. The NFL is saying it wants to be a leader in ending racism. These two things don't go hand in hand. The name has to go.
Lewis, you worked there in Washington under Dan Snyder. What do you make of all this?
I think what it goes to show you is the tremendous power that business is having on the current movement and the current eradication of racism in this country, the tremendous power that it can wield, that it can make people do things that previously they haven't been willing to do. And Dan Snyder is really the poster boy for that. This is someone who has dug his feet in. And as you see the clips that we put up here, you know, at the beginning of this segment, he's someone who said, you can put it in all caps, I will not change the name of this football team ever, ever. Well, there are 87 investors who represent $620 billion worth of assets in some of the biggest corporations in the world that say, oh, you will change the name because money talks. And we know that money talks to you. We know that money talks to your 31 partners. And as Jason just laid out, Dan has a responsibility to those other 31 partners to make sure that they continue to grow this tremendous pot that is the NFL, and they continue to grow their revenue stream. And anything that would put that in jeopardy can't be tolerated. And look, whether or not you want to argue about, you know, the impetus behind this name change, the fact of the matter is that it's here. And he's listening. Why? Because Dan's a smart man, just like all the other 31 owners. They don't get rich because they're dumb. They don't get rich because they like to bleed money and or see their revenue streams go down. They like to see it go up. And this would be bad for business. Simple as that. Simple as that. And that's why this is going to happen very, very quickly. And it's happening very, very quickly. Because the people who help these guys get as wealthy as they do by investing in the brand that is the NFL have said, you will change it. And they're changing it.
Yeah, there's going to be a change. There's going to have to be a change. I mean, think about in the past how many times things have come up and they just kind of they're swept under the rug. There's a statement made and really no change. And now, obviously, in the climate that we're in today, in the environment that we're in, there is, like you said, Lewis, there is the power of the investors and all the money behind it that is going to be able to create a change in this team and the name that they represent. So, you can't just sweep things under the rug anymore. There's going to have to be change if they're offensive to certain people. Like, you have to take that into account, and you just can't ignore that. So moving forward, I 100% think that there is going to be something changed, and it should be.
Obviously, as we've said several times, things are moving very quickly on this front. We will, of course, keep you updated as news continues to come in on it. There was other news in the NFL yesterday. Lift Every Voice and Sing, which is traditionally known as the Black National Anthem, is expected to be performed live or played before every Week 1 NFL game in 2020. And the league is considering a variety of other measures during the upcoming season to recognize victims of police brutality. That all as told by a source familiar with the league's discussion to The Undefeated on Thursday. Our own NFL reporter Kimberly Martin had this to say on Twitter. Don't get me wrong, the song is great, but why? Instead of adding another, albeit great, pregame song, the NFL should instead address the be patient and just wait excuses of owners and front office execs that continue to vex black candidates and put meaningful effort into changing attitudes within its own power structure, for starters. Jason, I want to start with you here. Kimberly made her own opinion, obviously, pretty clear, which is a nice gesture, but why this? So what is behind this decision by the NFL?
Well, Dan, this is part of an overall plan that the league is executing right now to say that we get it. You know, Roger came out with this video, as I previously mentioned, acknowledging, hey, we've made mistakes here. We want to do better. We want to stand with our players. So I get people saying, hey, you know, the league is just pandering to people in this moment. But I've talked to a lot of people who have sat down across the table from Roger in negotiations about trying to expand the Rooney Rule and on issues related to inclusive hiring. And what they constantly tell me is Roger gets it. And I got a call from a source yesterday who said, no, Jay, these people don't have it right. This is part of the overall environment that Roger is trying to create. In addition to the lift every voice, the league is also going to let players have patches on their jerseys and decals on their helmets to honor people who have been victims of systemic racism and police brutality. And these are things that I never, ever thought that the NFL would not only allow, but actually embrace. They're in the discussions with the NFL Players Association to allow these things, to let these things happen. And again, you can be cynical and say, well, they're just doing this because of X reason. But the people who have been fighting for these things, the people who have been pushing the league to try to do better, they're saying, look, the league is trying to do better, and we're going to embrace it because these are the things we've been fighting.
Look, the honoring and recognition in the manner in which that we're talking about here, and as Jason just articulated, it is important, and it is something that is nice to see, and it is definitely a sea change. It is definitely a break from the past as far as the way in which they have recognized and paid attention to these matters. But look, I do very strongly agree with many of the things that Kimberly was really alluding to, which is this. You know, look, statements and recognition is one thing. Having tangible positive impact is another. Now we're talking a whole nother level of really trying to get something done. And look, I will give Roger Goodell and I will give Troy Vincent and I will give the diversity committee nothing but credit as far as the authenticity and the truthfulness behind the kind of change that they are trying to implement. I've seen it. I've talked to them. I know what they're trying to do. But what needs to happen, if you really want to get people's attention and you really want to say, you really want people to say, look, they get it, and they are actually doing something about it, then let's come up with something that really does have the owners kind of change their way of going about making decisions as it relates to minority representation at the highest levels of this league, whether it be head coach level, general manager level, president level, executive vice president level, you know, even going all the way down to offensive coordinator levels, quarterback coach level. Let's see the positive impact start to take hold there with meaningful representation. How do we go about that? Well, obviously there are not, you know, tried and true answers. It's not just this is what we're going to do and it just changes, because we need to change the ways in which the 32 owners think and make decisions and how they make decisions that make them comfortable. But that's where the focus really, that's where the attention really is going to come. And that's where really the positive accolades and really the kind of attention in a positive manner, that's where it's going to really come, or rather that's when they're really going to get it, when they actually address those things internally to where people say, okay, now we are truly making progress. Now we are truly being represented. Now we are truly being viewed as equals. Because until then, there are going to be cynics. There are going to be people who look at these measures as being skeptical, or rather with a certain degree of skepticism, and rightfully so.
Certainly fascinating and important times in our country and in the NFL as well. We will continue to keep you all updated on these developments as they continue to come in. Meantime, Jason Reed, thanks so much for joining us, and please swing by anytime.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The NFL has already had several events canceled or altered this offseason because of the coronavirus pandemic. The NFL draft was originally supposed to be held in Las Vegas, but was converted to an all-virtual online draft. Roughly 1 week ago, the league decided to cancel the Hall of Fame game as well as the Hall of Fame enshrinement weekend. They also decided to cancel weeks 1 and 4 of the preseason. Training camps, which for the majority of teams open up on July 28th, will be held only at team facilities this year, and the league also canceled all of its international games for 2020, moving those games back stateside. So there's actually lots more to be discussed and figured out before we know if there will be any NFL games this season, as Marcus Spears predicted there would. Last night, the NFLPA had a conference call with team player representatives to discuss some of the plans it's making with the league for protocols related to the coronavirus. Among the topics discussed on that call were the league's proposed testing and contact tracing program, the possibility of wearing specially designed face masks to help prevent the transmission of the virus, something some players have pushed back against due to the design of those face masks. A warning that if there is a season, players will be asked to do their part in and away from team facilities. Union officials told players Thursday that they could possibly face fines if they are found to have contracted and spread the virus as a result of off-field activities, such as going out to eat in restaurants, using rideshare services. So a lot going on in terms of getting ready to play. Also, just finding out before the show started today, last night on that call, the union's board of representatives voted unanimously to recommend that no preseason games be played this year. The league, of course, already moving to scrap 2 of the 4. So still a lot of discussions. Rob, wanted to start with you. What are your expectations for what this NFL season will look like, assuming you agree with Marcus that that it will happen?
Well, I'm with Marcus. It's going to happen. You can hear the owners, and they want this season to happen because they're going to lose a ton of money if it doesn't happen. So my expectations are that things might be pushed. The games might – the season might be shortened. There's going to be something that pops up in this season. Look, think back on the NFL films when they have, you know, the offensive and defensive line in December when it's cold and they're both breathing on each other. You can see the like the hot breath coming out of each player, and they're kind of just spewing their breath all over each other. I mean, how are they going to prevent one person, you know, spreading this amongst a team when everybody's breathing, sweating, boogers flying on each other? So I think it's going to be difficult for 16 regular season games to be played. They're already shortening the preseason, talking about canceling the preseason. So it's hard for me to expect that 16 regular season games plus playoffs will be held with no disruptions when you have guys from all different age groups. You can't tell a 21-year-old, a rookie new to the league, like, hey, you can't go anywhere. And then you got kids in school. You got guys that are married with kids, and kids are in school. So, I mean, how do you prevent guys from interacting with their families? I just think that it's going to be very difficult to make sure that everyone is COVID-free, so to speak.
Lewis, what do you think? How is this? How might all of this be able to work?
Yeah, Dan, I really do believe that the preseason is going to be scrapped. Look, I believe that NFL front offices and coaching staffs in particular, they need time to prepare and to schedule and to plan. And right now, my sense is that there just isn't a lot of clarity as to what are the procedures and protocols going to look like. So therefore, teams can start making the requisite preparations as far as how training camp is going to look and what they're going to wind up, how they're going to wind up spacing out the time that they have before the regular season starts. So I think ultimately the preseason is going to be scrapped. And then from there, I think everyone is going to have to be very, very flexible because, look, I think there's it, you know, when you listen to Adam Schefter kind of make that prediction and declare that, you know, there could be some delay as far as the regular season starting. Look, I mean, sometimes, you know, the more I kind of think through this on my own, I kind of think, well, maybe that is a strong possibility because of the fact that it just seems like right now there are a lot more questions than there are answers. I mean, how, again, do you wind up putting all these procedures and protocols into place as far as keeping players safe off the field and then asking them to go the extra mile when they're away from the facility and really distance themselves from family members and or, you know, outside forces, so to speak, when they're going out in public so they can stay COVID-free, but then have them come back to the facility and then sit there and have, you know, physical contact for 2 hours a day as far as physical practice is concerned. I mean, these are the questions that players have that right now people don't have answers for as far as, well, how are you going to manage that for me? How is that going to look? And when you have this number of questions and you have so few answers, how can you start training camp on time? How can you play preseason games? Why would you play preseason games and expose players to even further risk? And so, again, look, right here in 2 minutes, minute and 30 seconds, I've raised a lot more questions than I provided answers, and I think that's what individual teams are facing right now.
Way more questions right now than answers. Everybody keep it locked here to ESPN over the coming weeks and months as we get you as many of those answers as we possibly can. Sparks have been flying in the NFL this offseason. Look at some of the moves. The Cowboys hired Mike McCarthy as their head coach after they missed the postseason with an 8-8 record. Since 2010, McCarthy's 10 postseason wins are tied for the second most in the league. With the first overall pick in the draft, the Bengals selected Joe Burrow, who became the second player in the Common Draft era to win a Heisman, win a championship, and go first overall in a one-year span. In the trade that shocked the NFL, DeAndre Hopkins sent to the Cardinals for David Johnson and a second-round pick. Tom Brady, as you may have heard, signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' two-year contract and was joined by his favorite target, Rob Gronkowski, who the Bucs got in a trade with New England. And speaking of New England, they may have found a replacement for Brady, signing Cam Newton to a one-year contract worth over just $1 million plus incentives. Cam posted a photo on his Instagram with the caption that reads, "Not a lot of things money cannot buy, but amongst the top of that list of things you would find respect as one of those. This is not about money for me. It's about respect." You heard it earlier, but our very own GM, Mike Tannenbaum, gave his prediction that Cam Newton would end up with more wins this season than Tom Brady. Newton, who has made more than $100 million in his 10-year career, is guaranteed just $550,000 as part of his one-year contract with the Patriots. So, Rob, your thoughts on Mike T's prediction?
Well, he's got to earn the starting position before he can win more games than Tom Brady. I mean, look, the Patriots aren't just going to make him the starting quarterback instantly. His contract that he signed, he's basically coming in and hey, look, earn it. Go in. They might even bring him in. This is going to fire up Stephen A. He might be the third-string quarterback when he comes in. He might be behind Stidham and Brian Hoyer because, look, they're going to test him physically and mentally. And they're going to say, hey, come in here. You're new to this system. You're new to this building. You have to come out here and earn the trust of everybody in the locker room. Earn the trust of your teammates and see how he reacts to that. If you put him in, say, the third string and he's pouting around and doesn't take hold of the reins and grab leadership roles, like, you don't know how people are going to react. And look, the Patriots are going to put people through tests. They're going to test you physically, mentally. How do you respond in certain situations? Cam has never been in a spot where he was having to fight for the starting role. Now he's going to go into a competition. Competition brings out the best in every single player on that roster. And look, He is not a first-round pick anymore. He's not a highly guaranteed money player anymore. So he's coming in to compete, and we'll see what happens with it. He first has to earn the starting job to have more wins than Tom. Because, look, right now Tom's a starter, and you can tell that's the truth, right? When you look at everything he's doing right now in Tampa, Tom's a starter. Right now Cam's got to earn that.
Yeah, look, this is the very definition of a low-risk, high-reward signing for the New England Patriots, and they've made a living off of this for the past 20 years. Okay, that's what they do. That's what Bill does. Bill is an economics major in college. Bill looks at everything economically. And that is, relative to the cost, what can I gain in return in terms of return on my investment? And that's what he's looking at here. So this is not, and given what he has invested in the camp, this is not one of these situations where you can go, well, Bill's without a doubt hitching his wagon to Cam. No, he's not. Now, he could. It could wind up turning out that way, and all things being equal, and if Cam is able to be able to, you know, absolutely compete with Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer on a mental level as far as having a grasp of the offense and being able to go through this offense in a way that does not hamstring it in any way, and they can absolutely unleash the full arsenal of this offense from an X and O perspective, great. Because physically, look, when Cam is right, he's one of the best athletes to ever put on an NFL uniform, period. And no one is even arguing that. But as far as when he is going to start or should he start or I mean, all those questions, we just don't know. I mean, theoretically, we could go through the schedule and say, hey, look, here's where he could wind up starting if the team falters coming out of the gate through the first 7, 8, 9 weeks of the season. And, you know, and if I had to really guess and say, hey, look, all things being equal, if he winds up becoming the starter, I would say right around week 9 at the Jets there, that would be the time. If they come out where they're sitting at 3-4 after 8 weeks and the team is sputtering and it's sub 500, well, then, yeah, I could see them maybe making a change at that point in time if he hasn't won the starting job already. But I think this situation could go a number of different ways as far as how the quarterback competition ultimately plays out, because they really do run things up there in New England, although I haven't been there. But I'll just say this. Bill runs things based off of merit, man, and he doesn't care who you are. And in Cam's case, as great as he's been, Cam's never done anything for him. Cam's never done anything for him other than give him headaches as an opponent. So he doesn't owe him anything. He's going to have to earn it, and if he earns it, number one will be out there on the field. If he doesn't, it'll be number 4 or number 2, whatever number Brian Hoyer's wearing, or whoever else they put out there. And he doesn't care. Simple as that.
Well, if your schedule prediction there holds true, then Cam will have finished pretty hot for Bill Belichick in 2020. Rob, I want to look at
you saw that
Tom Brady's new team and to play a little bit of the schedule game with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. As you look ahead to their season, we asked you to take a look through the schedule. What did you see in terms of a project? Oh, my goodness, you're high on the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I think they're going to be 12-4, and I think they're going to start out really hot. I think they're at the end of the season when they have really tough games. You got the Chiefs, the Vikings, and the Falcons. Look, the Falcons are going to play it tough in the division, and then they get back on the right track in the last 2 weeks, Lions versus, again, the Falcons. So I think that Tom is going to have some great success with the weapons that they have on offense. You got Gronk back for the red zone to really dominate the thing. Then that's the most important part of the field is a red zone. So he gets a really big target in Gronk back. They got a lot of great receivers. Defense is young and fast. So I think Tampa Bay has a great, great shot to win a division, to go 12-4. It's going to be pretty impressive. I'm excited. Look, Tom's excited. He's happy. He's having a good time in Tampa. So I'm excited for the season. I hope that they play 16 games and they don't have any disruptions, because I want to see him play this season.
Projections like that are a big reason Buccaneers fans hope the same thing.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
4th of July weekend is here, which means we're doing more declarations. And since it's also the time of year when many NFL players are looking for contract extensions or long-term deals, we will declare today what we think will happen to some of those players. So we're going to play a little fill-in-the-blank with our declarations here. And, Lewis, we're going to start with you. I, Lewis Riddick, declare that Jamal Adams will be on blank team in 2020.
I declare that Jamal Adams will be on the Jets in 2020. Look, the Jets aren't dumb. At least I don't think they are. They understand what they have in a 24-year-old player in his prime, who they drafted as high as they drafted, playing a key position in the command and control center in the middle of your defense back there in the secondary, who gives you his all down after down, tremendous run defender, tremendous blitzer, tremendous hitter, has good ball awareness, becoming better and better in man coverage, and someone who right now has been one of the most dependable parts of your football team, you don't just go ahead and get rid of those players in their prime, especially when you're trying to change the culture of your organization and really have it become a team that really patterns itself after a guy like Jamal Adams and approaches the game with the professionalism that Jamal Adams approaches the game. You don't get rid of those players. You sign them and you keep them in the fold for a long time. Take care of them, New York.
Speaking of former first-round picks looking to be traded, our Adam Schefter tweeting just now that Browns tight end David Njoku and his agent Drew Rosenhaus asked today for the teams to trade him. The Browns told Njoku they would like to keep him, but Rosenhaus told them he's intent on a trade and they want one before training camp. About that trade request today to the Browns, agent Drew Rosenhaus said it is in David's best interest to find a new team at this time. Browns, you may remember, did acquire Austin Hooper at tight end in free agency. So we'll keep an eye on this one. But we'll go back to our declarations. Rob, yours is, I declare Dak Prescott will blank with the Cowboys at the July 15th deadline.
I believe my declaration is that Dak is going to play under the tag and not sign a big contract before the deadline. Look, if they were going to sign him, that would already have been done. They're nitpicking. They don't like what they're looking. They don't like what they're driving. They're test driving the car. They have not signed him yet to a long-term deal. They have question marks. If they haven't figured it out yet, I don't think they're going to. So he's going to play this season, and he's going to have a one-year deal. He's going to have to go ball out and earn it. And if he wants to be the highest paid, $35-plus million a year, then he's going to have to go out there and make the playoffs or, you know, be the best quarterback in the league, but they're not going to sign him at the deadline.
It'll be the most closely watched of the franchise player situations over the next 12 days, but not the only one. Lewis, your turn. I declare Chris Jones of the Kansas City Chiefs won't play until week blank.
I declare that he won't play until week one of the regular season. But Chris Jones isn't going to miss those checks. He knows that. Look, he's someone who stands to make a lot of money this year regardless. He knows how the Kansas City Chiefs feel about him. He knows that he's one of the premier interior pass rushers in the NFL, and he knows that GM Brett Veach knows that. He knows that they're also trying to get Pat Mahomes locked up, and they're going to get him locked up sooner rather than later, and he knows that they are trying to get him locked up as well. It's just that it's tough given all the uncertainty surrounding the league this year and uncertainty surrounding the salary cap and whether or not it's going to contract and by how much in 2021. And he's not going to want to miss those checks, plain and simple. He's not going to want to miss the train. He doesn't stand to really benefit by sitting out. He knows he's going to get his money. He's Brett Veach's guy. He's Andy Reid's guy. He'll be playing week one.
Jones scheduled to make a fully guaranteed $16 million, roughly, on the franchise tag this year, if no long-term deal before the 15th. One more franchise player declaration for Rob. I declare the Titans will blank Derrick Henry.
They are going to extend. I declare that the Tennessee Titans will extend Derrick Henry because they have the quarterback in their ear saying, please, let's keep him happy. I need his running game so I can be successful. Yes, I got paid, but I want him to be paid too. Keep him happy. The guy is the workhorse. He's out there just running the rock and setting up all the success that they have on offense. So keep him happy. Extend Derrick Henry.
Always tricky to get to those running back extensions. We'll see if Tennessee can get it done with Henry.